Peace. Shalom. Salam.
Shanti.
Worldwide. I say peace when I jump on a beat. I say peace when I'm walking the street.
When I'm walking the street.
I say peace when the sun's in the east. I say peace when I need a release.
When I need a release.
I say peace when I'm facing the beast. I say peace when I'm taking you deep.
When I'm taking you deep.
I say peace cause I know I'm complete. I say peace. I say peace.
P is for the people. E is for the essence. A is for the answers that we get from God's questions. C is for the conscious. E is for the earth. So everybody gotta stand out and find their worth.
Have you been overcome with an irresistible urge to wash your potato? Have you been looking out at the world and are you trying to figure out exactly what the hell is going on? Well, you've come to the right place. You've come to the 100th Monkey Radio with Tom and Ramon. And we are picking up the pieces and trying to put our puzzle together. And each week we just put another piece in there and things are really starting to take shape. We're bringing guests on like we have tonight, and it just really makes the picture just, oh, man. We're starting to see so much clearer now, aren't we, Ramon?
Yeah, getting some of that mud out of our face and seeing the world for what it is and all its beauties.
Yeah, I'm having so much fun. We still have some of the 100th Monkey gig sticks still available with all of our first season on there, plus our video interviews and stuff. So pop on over to the website if you want to check one of those out. I want to thank all our members. They really appreciate the support. And if you guys like what you hear here, tell a friend. Let them know. Tell them about us. See, we picked up another country, too. Who was it, Ramon?
Malaysia and Lithuania, I see. So we're up to 102 countries.
Nice.
You can reach us also. We're on Facebook, Twitter, and Tom has a YouTube page. If you scroll down, you can click on the tabs and it'll take you right to those. For those of you who use that, you can also email us any questions and we'll get back to you. If we don't get back to you in a couple of days, sometimes my email acts up. Just resend a question again. So we answer every single one of our emails. So if you don't hear an answer within 2 days, then that means it's in your spam box or something happened.
Yeah. So, Ramon, let's get going here. Who have we got with us tonight?
Today we have somebody. Before I go into his bio, I just want to say Tom is what would be the word? An avid OBE or astral projection person, and I myself have had a few dozen experience in it. So hopefully, our guest will help us really open up in that area. William Bowman, author of The Adventures Beyond the Body and The Secrets of the Soul. William is an expert in numerous but simple astral projections and out-of-body, aka OBE techniques, from the shamanistic to the modern. William Bowman is an American leading expert on out-of-body experience, the author of 4 decades of extensive personal out-of-body explorations, give him a unique and thought-provoking insight into this subject. His first book, Adventures Beyond the Body, chronicles his personal spiritual journey of self-discovery to out-of-body travel and provides the readers with the preparation and techniques that can be used for their own adventures. So after 4 decades, I would say he knows something about this.
Yes, absolutely.
Welcome to the show, William.
Oh, it's a pleasure to be here.
Thank you so much. We're really, really excited about this show. So where would we want to start? Because there's so much to cover.
Well, let's start. Was there some event that what brought you into the exploration of out-of-body travel first? We'll get this out of the way, and then we can dig into the meat and potatoes.
Well, when I was in college, a friend of mine had a spontaneous out-of-body experience, and he shared it to me. and it was a pretty life-changing event for him. And up to that point, I had never even heard of the topic. So I was not a believer at all in this. Matter of fact, I was pretty much a non-believer in religion and anything to do with spiritual practices or metaphysical practices. I was pretty scientifically based more than anything. And his experience kind of opened up a new door, and I decided I wanted to have the experience myself, so I started to pursue it. And I found that there were techniques that you could use. And I was doing it more just to prove it to myself whether it was real or not. Because he got me going on it where I knew he wasn't lying. And I decided to do the techniques that I learned myself, which was the first one I did was the target technique, which I write about in some length, where you select targets and you, as you're going to sleep, you imagine yourself going to these targets. And I did this for about 24 days before I had my first experience. And it was just a mind-blowing event. I mean, it changed my entire paradigm of reality. Just suddenly, you know, I woke up and I was found myself literally at standing by my body. And I was fully conscious, fully aware, and it was it was beyond anything I believe was possible. And from that point, I just became pretty much obsessed with the topic and had to explore it more and more and more to the point where that's become kind of my life.
I know exactly what you're talking about there. So can this really be termed a spiritual practice, though?
I think it is. I think it is what you, it's like many things. It is what you make it. I know that's not, generally people don't connect what is perceived as astral projection to a spiritual practice, but I feel that it strictly is, because as we move inward, you go beyond the astral body. And a spiritual path is one of going inward. And, of course, the only difference in astral, or let's just call it astral projection or OBEs, you're shifting your conscious awareness from one energy body, your dense physical body, inward to your astral body. And that in itself is quite a leap of awareness. And I found, and others have found, that you can continue that leap into other energy bodies that are even more capable and more expansive. So the astral projection is the beginning of a spiritual practice that becomes quite profound. Unfortunately, very few people talk about it because they're so fixated on the physical world and things of form and matter. But I know from experience that we can explore inward way beyond the physical world and actually have incredible spiritual experiences by going beyond the astral body.
I found the liberation that I personally experienced after my first conscious intentional projection was incredible. My whole like you said, it's completely paradigm shattering and shifting. The fear of death was gone. The fear in itself was gone.
I mean, oh yeah.
It just absolutely had an incredible effect on the way I looked at the world.
Yeah, and that's universal. It really wakes you up to the fact that you're not physical.
And yeah,
that's a big leap for people.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think they should teach this in school.
Oh, absolutely. I'd be the first to agree. I teach it, as you know, at the Monroe Institute, but it should be taught at... It should be taught in every college in the world, but unfortunately, it's not.
Yeah, I'm so glad that you didn't do like I hate to use the word most, but a lot of the scientific mind people that I know, I would mention something like this to them, and they would just, you know, rub it off and say, "Oh, that's hooey." But if you have a real scientific mind, then you do the experiment, you explore it.
Absolutely. That's how I got introduced to this. I was doing it as for my own. For me, I was proving it or disproving it. And the only way you can do that is to have your own experience. So anyone that says, I find it very close-minded of people just to say, oh, no way, that can't be true, or because this is not about believing. That's what makes this so powerful, and
right.
People get so excited about it because there's no beliefs attached to this. You have the experience or you don't have the experience. You prove it to yourself. There's no belief system attached to this. And that, I find, is one of the most illuminating parts of the whole experience, because finally you get away from beliefs. Let's face it. For instance, all of modern physics are basically belief systems still.
Right.
They have very little. When you get into quantum physics, even though everybody thinks that everything is proven, there's no proof of anything in the subatomic world.
Right.
It's all theory. This is not theory. This is, you prove it to yourself, and that's incredibly powerful. So much more powerful than I found from those that are just trying to do an intellectual examination of the universe. That doesn't give you the answers. You have to become an explorer yourself to know reality.
This has been looked at scientifically, I believe, in the early 20th century, 1900s. There were a few scientists, and some of them, I can't remember names, but some of them were actually well-known scientists that did this quietly on the side. What are some of the, have you looked into any of that research with some of the experiments that were done in those days?
Well, I'm familiar with more of the 20th century, or the some of the Stanford things that were done. And tell you the truth, though, I'm not really that interested in that. To me, the important thing is for people to prove to themselves, because I don't think it really matters what a bunch of ivory tower people have to say about reality. Because number one, most of them are not grounded in reality. They're in their own little world that has, anyone who's ever met these guys, and I have on many occasions and been to scientific lectures, you quickly see that these guys are not, they're grounded in theory. They're not grounded in anything that's let's just say first person exploration based.
Right.
They don't have a clue of what the real world is, because they haven't got out of their, they haven't got away from the blackboard. This, the whole power of out-of-body exploration is that each of us has the ability to prove it to ourselves, or if you wish to disprove it to yourself. And you do this by doing the techniques and by having your own experience. And then you determine whether it's real or not. I'm the last person to tell anybody believe this. That's why I don't think it's that. And to me, just to get back to where you started here, I don't really care what science says about out-of-body exploration, because people know, myself and millions of other people know from experience. And I could care less whether Stephen Hawking believes it's real or not.
Right.
Because they're barking up the wrong road by so that's fixation on matter and fixation on form. And they're missing the point. The big point here is consciousness creates reality.
Right.
And that we have the ability to become explorers.
Yeah, so I think this is the awareness and the use of out of body or projection is a huge key for humanity at this time. I mean, I think we have if this could get promoted and get more widespread and more mainstream type of, you know, the awareness raised on it, which I see the awareness being raised on it on a daily basis. More and more people are seeing this as a viable option to explore. You know, what is this? You know, out-of-body travel, that sounds interesting. You know, something sparking that desire within us now to investigate and to explore into these other areas to try to figure out exactly what's going on. Because people are just having experiences left and right in the third dimensional world, the synchronicities, and then all the hype over the 2012s and the asteroids and the solar and all the different things going on are making people ask questions. And I see this as just a huge key that people can use to open up the door to understand what's really going on.
Oh, absolutely, because the only way we know is to experience it. That's the only way we know things. We're not going to know anything by reading books and creating theories about the universe. That doesn't help us, really. I mean, it really doesn't, because these theories, all these theories that people now are they're so fixated upon, in 10 years from now, they'll all be obsolete.
Yeah.
But our ability to have our own experiences will be even more powerful. And that's how we get the answers.
Right.
And that's and also it's finally we have a chance to get out of the dark ages, essentially. Because as long as the humanity depends on belief systems, they will still be in the dark ages. We have to get to the point as a species, as of all of humanity, 6-7 billion of us, where we have this ability to explore on our own. And eventually, all of us have to make that leap, or we will always be the pawn of other people's thoughts and beliefs, whether it be religious beliefs or scientific beliefs.
Right.
So this is the way to break free from that.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. I find that from the, I would say, beginning of time, people have been talking about this. People have been experienced. So remember listening to one of your older interviews and how you were saying that it's in the Bible, the Quran. The Buddhists have been talking about it for a long time, and the Hindus as well.
Every religion has references to out-of-body experiences.
Right.
Every single one, including the Christian Bible. I mean, it is all through the Bible. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. What does that mean? I was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. I mean, my God, I mean, I know that everybody can come to this, but there's so many references to this.
Mm-hmm.
To have a spiritual experience, what is the key element of any spirit, or let's just call it religious or spiritual, but it doesn't matter what kind of framework you put around it. But what's the key element? It's transcending the limits of the physical body. That is the key necessity to have a profound spiritual experience. It doesn't matter if you're a Buddhist or a right-wing Christian. But that's the key element. And what is the center point of that? And that is shifting our awareness beyond the physical body and beginning to connect with this greater part of ourselves. And what is that? That's an out-of-body experience, for God's sake, when you strip away the facade and all the language.
Yeah.
So, I mean, Muhammad, the night journey, Islam is based on an out-of-body experience, which is the night journey. I mean, it's literally, that's the prime experience where Muhammad talks about he goes through the seven heavens. What was he doing? He was having a profound out-of-body experience. And then he tries to describe it. I mean, it's amazing. If you strip away this, unfortunately, the language, and you go to the core element of what's occurring in all religions, you'll find that all of these saints, these mystics, these founders of religions, they were having out-of-body experiences.
Yeah.
And they were just interpreting them according to their cultural context. And it's very clear. And yet, so few see it. I just, sometimes it blows my mind. Because to me, it's so obvious.
Yeah, yeah. So, we'll shift gears slightly here. What's the difference between a lucid dream and an out-of-body?
Okay, it's a good question. There's a number one, and I write about this, as a continuum of consciousness. We're not just on any given day, we experience many different states of consciousness. Let me use a little analogy to explain it. I feel, to me, and I am a lucid dreamer and I have out-of-body experiences. To me, they're radically different because, one, it's like you're in a football game. And in the lucid dream, I'm the observer of the football game more. Where if during an OBE, you're the quarterback. You're the participant. You're fully conscious and aware in that experience. You're making logical and decisions about what you're going to do next. You're in total control. In other words, to use another reference point, more of your ego awareness is present and your I-ness is present.
Right.
And you're there. It's totally you. We're in a dream or in a lucid dream, and a lucid dream can become very aware. It's not the same level of awareness. Generally in an OBE, by the way, they're generally very mundane. For many people, especially in the first couple of years, they're mundane experiences where you experience your physical world. They're not this multicolor, you know, the flying tigers are not going to come down and snatch you. And it's not that visionary experience. It's very mundane. So there's a lot of elements that are different, I guess is what I'm trying to get across here. But the main thing is that your full I-ness is present, and you can make logical, intellectual decisions that are not normally present in a dream scenario.
Right. Well, I've tried to explain it to people as when going into the out-of-body experience, I have a linear thought with my consciousness. I don't have any break there in, like the slipping off into sleep and then all of a sudden I'm in a out-of-body experience. It's all, I'm there constantly through the whole process, even when I hit the vibration state and pop out, that the consciousness is a full linear track. It never breaks.
But different people experience it a little differently. But yes, that's also, for many people, that's the way they experience it. That's how I experience it. Generally, I'll have vibrations, which I think is something we should bring up for your audience.
Absolutely.
Because most people, that is a very important step in the whole process, the entire vibrational state phenomena. And that is kind of approximately 70-80% of people will experience some form of vibrational state. And that's generally a very strong indication for people that something is about to happen. That's certainly not a dream.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of people get the beginning of that, I think. Well, for me anyways, the beginning of the vibration, I notice that same vibration just in my regular meditation, when they call it the heart chakra opening or the chakra openings. It's been described that way, where you feel the vibration within your core, within your energy body, and it can be a kind of a subtle vibration, but that's the beginning of that's the vibration. It just grows and intensifies, and then it just goes all the way up through, and interesting experience.
Well, it can get very intense for people.
Oh yeah,
I mean, I write about it sometimes. It's like you feel like you're in a jet engine. I mean, it can get very extreme. It depends. Everybody's different, though. Everybody experiences a vibrational state. Some people just get just voices and the feeling of being touched, where other people will get strong. It's almost like it's a physical. You feel like it's physical. It's so intense. Because I get, as you probably are aware, I get thousands of letters. And a lot of people will tell me, I thought there was an earthquake. And it shook them right out of bed. And they realize, oh, my God, there was no earthquake. There was something else going on. And then they try to figure out. And, I mean, literally, it scares children, for instance. I get a lot of letters about children that are afraid because of these intense vibrations. And of course, there's medical science and psychological sciences of the day don't cover it adequately. So there's a lot of mystery around this.
Yeah.
So it's a big topic, though. It's a big topic because it's universal. From generally, people get some kind of indication that something is happening, and it could be as subtle as just your name called, or some. It feels like somebody's touching you, or it could be as strong as literally a train running through your living room. I mean, that's what it feels like for some people.
I do it. Two different ways. One way, well, let me talk about my earliest experience with it. Was I remember I must have been like two or three, and all I remember is I was looking at my body in the crib, and all I wanted to do was grab the milk, but my hand kept going through it, and that's my earliest experience mm-hmm. with it. But the way for me, it's different from you and Tom, where either the A scenario is where I feel like something very hot going up my spine, and then I fall asleep, and then I wake up in the paralyzed state. And what I'll do is I'll roll over and roll right out of the body. And the B scenario is that I'll fall asleep again, and then when I become aware, I'm in the house where I grew up, in the living room.
Yes, that's very common. Yeah, many people are attracted, or let's just say drawn back to a comfortable location that they knew well, that's in their subconscious mind. That's very common. And also, by the way, that's a very effective technique. That's one of the things I teach people to do, is to roll. Man, it's one of the best ways of separating from the body, is to just think roll. And your energy, and allow your energy body to roll out of your physical body. Because a lot of times separation, this is one thing many people don't know. Everybody thinks it's some kind of Shirley MacLaine. You're just going to float up and away from your body. And nothing could be further from the truth. For many people, they have to work at separation, because there's almost like you feel stuck. Or people will become partially separated. Their arms will begin to lift out, but they can't get the rest of their body to move. So rolling, what you have done instinctually, is actually one of the best ways to initiate that full separation. And it's very natural.
So I want to go out into that area here and probe into some of the properties that are out there. How many dimensions are you aware of that our consciousness has access to?
I, as far as I know, it could be endless. I don't know. I don't buy into that theosophy model.
Right.
That has been proposed and now become kind of like the new age. I just don't, as you can, I guess anybody's read my work and says I don't believe in believing. So I never did accept that 7 and 7 philosophy. And I have, still to this day, I've not found any reality to that. I don't really know how many levels there are. I don't know. I'm just being totally honest. And anybody that says, oh, there's 7, it's just because they bought that from somebody's writing. There's so many that I lost count long ago. There's so many levels within levels within levels within levels that I have no clue. I'm just being totally upfront about
it.
Right. And remember, the further in we go, because the physical world is the epidermis layer of the universe, and as we have an out-of-body experience, it's clear, I want to make this clear, we're actually moving inward into the universe. because we've transferred our awareness into a less dense, more subtle energy body, which is what, that's the first out-of-body experience you have. And I know there's all kinds of words for different energy bodies. But what we have found is that every time you move inward, you're going to a less dense energy body. And that progression goes, it can even beyond what we would perceive as a soul. There's other energy, let's just say levels, even though it's not perceived as such. So I would say that there's no limit to our capability to explore ourselves. That would be my, I guess, my best answer for that question.
So when you're in the out-of-body state, how can you tell the difference in dimensions? Because I'm sure there's no sign that says, welcome to the fifth dimension. So do you just, you're able to tell energetically?
Well, you have to, people will, there's a lot of things going on. And of course, this is one of the reasons I do a six-day workshop, is to go over this kind of information, because it gets quite detailed. Number one, if you can see, or if you perceive, because there's no eyes, we have to just make, let's start at the very beginning here. When you leave your body, you do not possess eyes and ears. And people still think they do. Yes, your subconscious mind will create a construct, which essentially what it is, an energy construct that will look like a duplicate of your physical body. But your mind is the one that's created this energy body. So all of your perception capabilities, our ability to see, feel, hear, they're all created by our mind at that level. And this is unfortunately overlooked by even astral projectors. And what we have to do is, number one, we have to begin to develop our inner senses on every dimensional body that we possess. Because we, as multidimensional beings, is what we are, we possess different energy bodies, all existing at different frequencies. And each energy body has different capabilities. But just to get back to your question, if you can perceive physical-like surroundings that appear to be your duplicate of your physical world, then you know you're in your densest energy body. And that's one way. And this is one way that this is the easiest way to tell, get a handle on where you are. If you have an out-of-body experience in your bedroom and you can still perceive your bed, you know that you are in your densest energy body, which some people call the etheric. There's different terms. Right. And as you move inward within yourself, as you shift your awareness and move to higher, or let's just say finer, less dense energy bodies, that as the physical surroundings around you dissolve away, it means that you're moving inward within yourself and transferring your awareness to a higher, or let's just say a higher vibrational energy body. That's the beginning point. And for most people, this is often the first few years of their experiences. It was for mine. It's for most people. People have a tendency at the beginning to hang around close to the physical world because that's what they know and they're comfortable with. And they will remain in their densest energy body. And most people, matter of fact, and this is unfortunate, and I like to get this out there, most people never get beyond that energy body because they're not comfortable enough to go inward to the next level of reality. Because then you suddenly are giving up that the comfort of these forms that you're familiar with. Because once you enter into the astral world, then you're suddenly... let's just say you're entering into a reality that will become not at all like your physical world that you're familiar with, and you'll find yourself in multiple, often consensus realities, and that's what gets confusing for people, because realities, there's millions and millions of different kinds of realities, and they're all created by thought. And you will have a tendency to be drawn to the reality that resonates with you and with the people.
Right.
So people have a tendency. That's why there's such a difference in the way people perceive their own experiences. That's why Monroe's books describe reality different than I describe it. And you'll see that in all books, because people are experiencing their own perception of their own reality that they're comfortable about entering, or let's just say, use another word, interacting within. And it all depends on your state of consciousness. It depends on what you're willing to accept. But most people will accept form-based realities.
Right.
But you quickly find you can go beyond form-based realities as you move inward. And that's when you know you're in the higher, generally speaking, if you go beyond three-dimensional form, you've moved into a much higher reality, a much higher dimensional reality I'm referring to.
So that's so when you...
It's a big subject.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. So that's when you drop your facades. So the
often,
the higher you move up.
Yes, and eventually you'll drop your humanoid form. Once you get beyond, you go into, I'll just throw out the old term astral, which I really don't like the term. But generally the astral world is form-based, three-dimensional form-based realities. There's billions of realities in the astral dimension. But when you start to go beyond, when you see that your physical body is gone and you're like a sphere of pure consciousness and your vision is 360 degrees, you have went beyond the astral world. And that's when you enter a whole nother dimension of reality. So what we perceive, we only can perceive what we're capable of based on our own state of consciousness. Reality is relative to the observer, based on the density of their vibrational state. And so that's why I do such extensive workshops, because this subject is a big topic of serious explorers. Because you have to know where you are. You want to know where you are, because you're suddenly in a void, and people freak out. I mean, what's a void? There's no, suddenly you're hovering in space.
Yeah.
And for a lot of people, that is just terrifying.
Yeah.
Where really, that's not terrifying at all. That's reality, because it just hasn't been. There's no need for form. It's just a different kind of reality. So you have to be very flexible in your consciousness.
What about guides and teachers? Can you call on guides and teachers in those realms?
Sure, you can. It depends on, generally speaking, this is just my opinion on this. And again, this is my perception. I have found that guides, especially in the, let's just say, the lower or the denser regions of the astral world, they will stay out of sight. It will depend on your level of development, how well they will interact or how much they will interact. Because a true guide does not want to interfere with the natural progression of your experiences.
Right.
And the very sight of a guide can potentially do that. So yes, they have, and I write about one of my guides. They do. And they can appear, but generally speaking, if I have a guide present, I will not see a three-dimensional body. You know what I mean? It's not like a shepherd
right.
coming around and saying, "Oh, here, Bill, let's go here now, and let's take my hand and let's do that." That's not the way it works. And that's the way people unfortunately perceive it. It's inner guidance that will come to you about what to do or what not to do or how you feel about things. It's a lot of it, again, about developing your inner senses, because a guide doesn't want, the last thing a guide wants you to be is dependent on them.
Right.
And this is where guides, a good guide is, it's a highly skilled profession, so to speak. Because they have to provide assistance without interfering. So generally, it's a matter of putting you in circumstances where you can learn by yourself. In other words, energy situations, let's say, where you can gain some, let's just say, quality or knowledge that you will need. And so let's just say you'll be put into situations where you may, for instance, a typical one is that you may have to confront a fear because most people are too fear-based. You have to begin to purge the negative limits that we carry with us. And what a lot of the guides will do is to place us in situations or assist us to go into situations where we can learn ourselves. Follow me? It's right. Not so much about taking your hand and showing you around, because that's not the way I have never found it that way. But if you need assistance and you call upon one, they can provide assistance.
Hmm. Yeah,
so we're always safe. I think this is an important thing. We're always safe. Number one, we're immortal, so I mean, how can we not be safe?
Right, right.
But beyond that, there's a lot of fears associated with out-of-body exploration that are totally unfounded.
Right.
You know, most people don't know that everybody separates at night when they fall asleep. Now, I'm not saying they float. They may just separate by maybe an inch or so. But when people fall asleep, their energy bodies are slightly, let's just say, disconnecting from their physical bodies. And that's when the recharging occurs.
Hmm.
Everyone.
Yeah. Yeah, because we're actually projecting here.
Exactly. This is not home. This is a serious exploration for us to be in a physical body. This is a freakish, extreme adventure to be in a physical body for us. We've taken it for granted. But in actuality, this is an amazing event to put our consciousness all the way from the higher, let's just say, soul level, and to project our awareness down into this animal body. This is an amazing feat, just to be able to do this. So right now, we're actually being quite courageous explorers just by having a body. Because this is a total alien environment for soul, for consciousness. And you're absolutely right. That's what I call it. Everyone is projecting right now. They're just projecting into a physical body.
Right.
That is a temporary, that's what I mean. This body is a temporary vehicle of consciousness. That's all that it is. It's a temporary vehicle or construct. It's an energy construct that we're using to express ourselves.
So why?
It's no different on the astral plane.
Right. So why do you think we have
a different vibrational body?
Why do you think we have the memory veil when we come in after having one life and we come back into another life? Why do you think we have that memory veil that is pulled across our consciousness?
Oh, I think that people couldn't handle it. I think it's that simple. I think that people can bear. There's people in the physical, as we all know. Many people have a hard time trying to handle this life as it is right now. I mean, unfortunately, the mental hospitals are overflowing. I mean, this is a tough training environment we're in here in the physical. And I think that in general, there's other reasons, but primarily, I don't think people could handle it. They can barely handle, many people can barely handle this one. Imagine if you had knowledge of 1,000 lifetimes.
Mm.
How would, I mean, we would, you think there's a lot of psychological problems in the physical world now. Can you imagine what it would be like if you had memory of 100 lifetimes? My God, the hospitals would be, They couldn't build enough of them to cover the people, because people could not handle that psychological, the pulling of all these energy memories coming forth. So I think it's pretty much, it's very smart to limit us.
See,
now, granted, we have access to these memories if we choose to, but for the average person, it's blocked.
Right. Is there a point out there, or have you reached to a point where, I know you said we have access to all these different lives that we have lived, But is there a point out there where they are all together?
Oh yes, we can. You can do a download, which will happen spontaneous. I call it a download, where suddenly you'll be out of body in a certain environment, and if you open enough suddenly, and if you request it also, I'm talking about going beyond the etheric body.
Right.
But once you get into any kind of higher vibrational body within yourself, and you request to get this information, you'll be flooded with it. It'll be overwhelming experience.
Hmm.
I mean, it's mind blowing. Suddenly, it isn't just a memory. It's like you have this three-dimensional movie occurring of all these lives that you've lived, and they're all happening now. I mean, it's mind blowing.
Yeah.
And it's the average person, it's like, oh my God, you've got to be kidding me. I've been here 500 times. how slow of a learner am I? But it's we have access to that information.
Have you found anything with location, as far as the location here on this dimension being more conducive to or having or promoting or allowing a different quality of experience?
No, I really have not. I've been all over the world. I've lived, you probably know a little bit about my background. I've lived in China for 4 years. I've traveled the world extensively. I've had OBEs in every corner of the world, and I have not found it's all about what's going on inside of us.
Right.
Yeah, I feel. Now, I know there's people that say, oh, you go to Sedona, and I've done workshops in Sedona for 10 years, and I just don't see the difference. It's all in your way. If you believe something, you make it so. I mean, if you believe that a certain area, for instance, if you believe that you can, you have to have crystals all around you to have an out-of-body experience, and you make that a truism for you, then yes, you need that. But I have found that it's all about what's going on inside of me. And, we carry our stuff with us. You can't escape your own thoughts. You can't escape what's going on inside you. And it's all about trying to, let's just say, to cleanse your own self and to get your own mind as crystal clear and clear as possible. And clear is really so important, so that you have the ability to have these experiences no matter where you are. The external influences I found are minimal. Just absolutely minimal. Just like a lot of people ask me about what they eat and what they drink. And I mean, there are influences that affect the body, but, and of course I have my own little rules that I teach people about, but they're minimal, really. I mean, it's like I basically teach moderation in all things.
Right.
And you just use moderation, and you focus on keeping your mind as clear and let's just say free of turmoil and junk, so that you have the ability to initiate your experience without interference from any kind of belief system or that will influence you. Which
yeah.
is important, because it's the beliefs that, we create reality by what we believe. And if you believe that you have to be, your head has to be pointed north, and you have to be, take a bath and be in, some people believe they have to purify themselves, and their head must be north, and they have to be in white sheets, and then they have to have a certain kind of chanting. If you believe that, you've made it true for you.
Mm. I've tried several of those things when I was first trying to figure out how to do it, And you know, the head pointing north, and then the fasting. Oh, I did all sorts of different things trying to initiate an experience myself, and I couldn't find any of those things that did anything for me. And it was just a simple, just relaxed meditation that did it for me.
That's right. I mean, that's how I feel. I try to keep the techniques that I teach very simple. And I'm a great believer in meditation. It's because it's the same journey. I mean, it's the same journey inward. It's just in our case, with an OBE, we want to be fully conscious and experience separation. But other than that, it's still a journey inward. There's very, you know, that's a shame that the two... That the yoga groups and the meditation groups and the out-of-body groups aren't more closer related, because they're actually all doing the same thing. They're just doing it in a little bit different context.
Yeah, and they're all actually reaching for that same goal too.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, what is yoga means union. It means going inward into yourself, until you're unified with that, let's just say, higher aspect of yourself. And with out-of-body exploration, that's what I teach people to do. I teach people to higher, you know, one of the mantras I teach people is higher self now. And higher self now, meaning I go to my higher self. First you separate from your body, and then you use this mantra, higher self now, and it initiates, or potentially can initiate, depending on your state of consciousness, an inner experience where you will feel yourself just flying through layers of color, and the next thing you know, you might find yourself in space or floating in a sea of white light. I mean, everybody perceives the experience differently, but it's all the same thing. It's this inner journey of consciousness beyond the astral plane, beyond the form-based realities.
Yeah. Yeah. So
it's exciting. This is exciting because it's all about us doing it instead of just, see, this is what I love about this stuff. You know, you probably talk to all kinds of I know you do. You talk to all kinds of people about all kinds of subjects, but how many subjects can people prove to themselves through personal experience?
Exactly.
You know, everybody, you know, there's not many. And, you know, I can't prove that aliens exist among us. I can't prove that, I can't prove a lot of these subjects that there's millions of books are written about. But darn it, I can prove this to myself.
Exactly.
And that's what makes this exciting, because you're no longer just the outsider. You become the explorer of consciousness yourself. And that's very empowering.
In the last few minutes, how of this hour, how can someone who's consciously never had this experience, what recommendations would you say for them to start if they want to explore this?
Well, first they should read about it a little bit to get some knowledge about the topic, so they have at least find good books on the topic that you can at least learn from, so at least you have some expectation. And that's not always easy to find, because there's a lot of junk out there.
Yeah, there is.
Unfortunately. And I'm not going to name, you know, I just, in general, you have to be very, just like everything else in this life, you have to be very discriminating. And once you find something that you feel is accurate, then you get comfortable with it. You select a technique. The first thing I ask people to do is to reappraise your own abilities. Do you visualize well? Because that's an important point. Are you more tactile? I know, for instance, 100 different out-of-body techniques. But different people have different abilities. If you visualize well, then use a visual technique. And I'll just cut to the chase here. If you're more tactile, if you don't visualize at all, and some people just can't, then you're going to have to – don't waste your time doing visual techniques like the target technique. Go on to something else. You may have to focus on affirmations and mantras and maybe a tactile technique like the rope, where it's more feeling. And so begin to get a handle on what your strengths are and then play to your strengths. This is very important because people generally don't – if they don't get results in 30 days, people give up. Matter of fact, a lot of people give up a lot sooner than that.
Yeah.
It took me 24 days to have my first experience. And if I would have given up at day 23, we wouldn't be having this conversation.
Yeah.
I mean, it takes perseverance. It's like meditation. You know, that's what it gets me about this topic. Nobody sits down and meditates, and in a month they expect to be Buddha, do they? But yet, in out-of-body exploration, people expect to have this, you know, mind-blowing experience in days, or they just have a tendency to say, oh, it's not real. It's kind of a double standard, I think, in many ways. People meditate for years before they have a profound experience.
Right.
I mean, truly profound.
Yeah.
I mean, mind-bending experience. It takes for many people, it takes them years to quiet the mind.
Mm-hmm.
It's just the reality, especially us in the Western world. We're not trained to, my God, the attention span of the average American is, what, 15 seconds?
Hmm.
That's why commercials are so short.
Yeah.
What?
I mean, exactly. Yeah, but it takes perseverance. It takes playing to your strengths. It takes learning from somebody that knows what they're talking about and it's not full of hot air. It takes learning from people that have experience, that are willing to share their experiences in a non-judgmental way. There's a lot of little things that goes on here and that helps people. But the number one thing, I think, is perseverance.
Yep.
You have to persevere. You have to be willing to give it a year. I mean, if you're going to meditate, how many people are going to meditate for a month and expect to, you know, to have something happen that they would consider to be transcendental, let's say? It's, you know, it's just – so give yourself that time. Because most of these techniques that I write about, you can do in 10 minutes. We're not talking about some giant time commitment here.
Right. Right. It's okay. So well, we're
fit into our lifestyle.
Yeah. We're hitting the top of the hour here. So, William, where can people get a hold of your material at?
My website is astralinfo.org. That's the best way to contact me. It's just like it sounds, astralinfo.org. That's where I have my workshops, my books, et cetera, are there.
Have you got anything coming up here? Have you got anything coming up here in the near future?
I'm going to Japan on the 14th for a workshop.
Where?
In Tokyo. I'll be in Tokyo on that weekend. I fly out on the 14th, but I'll be there whatever days that is, 17th, 18th, 19th. I didn't have to look at a calendar. And then in March, I'll be at the Monroe Institute. I'll do my sixth. So on the 17th of March, I'll be doing my premier workshop, which is 6 days. It's a residential, as all you guys know. I'm sure the Monroe Institute is famous for its out-of-body work.
Right.
Yeah. If you have
it's the premier place in the world, let's face it.
Yes.
Yeah. If you have time, we should catch a bite to dinner when you're in Tokyo. I'm going to see if I can make that because I live in Japan.
Oh, okay. Sure. Yeah. I you have to look on the website. I don't have a clue that somebody's picking me up. I don't know where it is. So just go to my website. No, the address will be there. It's sponsored by my publisher. My books are about to be released in Japanese. Matter of fact, I believe this week.
Nice.
Okay.
Okay. Well, everybody, thank you for joining us for this first hour and listen to Brooks coming up next and then pop over to the website and catch the second hour.
What's the website?
Well, geez, I don't know, Ramon. What is the website?
www.thehundredthmonkeyradio.com.
There we go. Thank you. Okay, guys, we'll catch you in the second hour. Condemnation without investigation is the height of ignorance.
The love you deny is the pain you carry.
All right. Good night.